Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the broadcast. We are live. Hello, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We're live with day 89 of our Bible in 90 days. It's crazy that we're here day 89. We have one more day after this. One more day. Welcome, everybody. Day 89. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Load up in the chat. We'll give everybody like 30 seconds before we start reading. Maybe a minute and a half. We'll see. But we are getting there. Thank you to everybody that joined last night for... Well, maybe I should wait a second here. First of all, pray for my internet, okay? I put a new network adapter in. I did the complicated thing that usually works is I reset my router, you know, and I updated my OBS and it looks like it's running smooth, but I had issues earlier. I don't know what's going on. We're getting it worked out. So thank you. Okay. Thank you to everyone that was there last night. We did a spontaneous hit a million subscribers. You can't plan it because you have no clue when it's going to happen. Some months I gained 3,000 subs. Some months I gained 10,000. Yesterday I gained 30,000 in one day. I was at softball practice with my daughter and I just started seeing my old videos getting recommended on the algorithm, taking off, gained 30,000 subscribers in the matter of like a couple of hours, rushed home, was like, I think I'm gonna hit a million tonight. And then we went live, I don't know, 9 p.m., 10 p.m. You can go watch the stream on my channel and we hit a million last night. Woke up this morning and now this is what's going on. We gained 26,000 subscribers since last night. So yeah, praise the Lord. I have no clue. We're on a wave. It's been a rough couple years. Have you been following me, guys? It's been, you know, a grind for the last few years of trying to grow on YouTube. And the crazy part is this just shows how good God is. And I'd give him all the credit for this because I know it's beyond the algorithm and all that. But when I started the 90 day Bible, I started losing tons of subscribers because people, would you guess, they don't want to get flooded with videos every single day of somebody reading the Bible. So people were unsubscribing. Like I lost a lot of subscribers. Actually, you guys don't know this, but the 90 day Bible challenge was the first time in the history of my channel that I visibly could see people unsubscribing. Like the number was going down every day. So I was like, you know what, Lord, it doesn't matter. You told me to do this. People don't want to see it. It's all good. People don't want to hear it. It doesn't matter. I'm going to be faithful to you. I'm not going to look at the views, not going to worry about the subs. I'm going to keep going. And, you know, was losing subs. It's all good. Doesn't matter. Who cares? And then all of a sudden, a day before we end, things blew up. So, which is so cool. So thank you, Lord, for that. I mean, it's amazing. And I feel like the Lord's rewarding all of us for our obedience to doing this, even though we were losing viewers and subscribers. And the channel was going down, but it's all good. It doesn't matter. It's all good. Just praise the Lord. We got to do whatever he tells us to do, regardless of what. I already know what the algorithm wants. It wants me to make drama videos, wants me to make reaction to drama going on in the Christian world. And we're just going to keep reading through the Bible, doing our verse by verse and doing our teachings and preachings. And then when something important is happening that I feel like the Lord wants me to talk about, like I'll probably make a video this weekend about this whole Antichrist, which is getting pretty crazy. That's something relevant. Then I'll talk about the Antichrist and share biblical things about it. But I'm not going to be reacting when, you know, Will Smith trips over a banana peel. All right. Anyway, we're going to be reading today. That's just a little bit of a thank you to all of you that joined. It was a great time last night. It was funny reacting to my old content and roasting myself. Anyway, we're going to be reading the book of Jude and the book of Revelation. We have a lot to read. I think we're reading all the way to Revelation chapter 18. I know I say this all the time, but I'm going to say it again. Revelation is one of my favorite books in the Bible. Okay. It's amazing. It's great. I have a whole verse by verse teaching on the book of Revelation. So thank you everyone for being here. Now, as far as you guys asking, what are we going to do tomorrow? There's only like 5 chapters tomorrow. And I don't know what we'll do to celebrate. Maybe we will just have my family on the stream and just... My daughter's been begging to read, and now we're on day 90 tomorrow. So tomorrow's her shot to read. So maybe I'll let Justice read for a bit, and we'll just wave at you guys and smile, and that's it. I don't know. We did a celebration last night already. So, awesome. Anyway, super excited that the timing was we got to finish the 90-day Bible the same week that we hit a million subscribers. It just feels fitting and right. So I appreciate it. Read slower. Guys, I am reading as slow as I can. Trust me, it's not fast. It feels fast to you, but I'm trying to slow down and read as slow as I can. So I am not going to read any slower than I already am. If you want to hear it slower, put it on like 0.75 speed or go listen to the Bible app. I don't know. I can't read any slower than I am, though. That's the truth. I talk very fast, and I'm slowing down for you guys, but it just doesn't feel natural when I'm talking too slow. Here we go, Book of Jude. If you want to hear slow, go watch my episode one of my Revival Lifestyle podcast. All right. Jude, chapter one. This letter is from Jude, a slave of Jesus Christ. And so far, the internet's doing good, so thank you. A slave of Jesus Christ and a brother of James. I'm writing to all who have been called by God the Father, who loves you and keeps you safe in the care of Jesus Christ. May God give you more and more mercy, peace, and love. And by the way, I've been looking forward to these 2 days because I want to read Revelation. And this is my favorite book to read. Well, Revelation is. And we had to wait till the last 2 days to read it. So, okay. The danger of false teachers. Dear friends, I'd been eagerly planning to write you about the salvation we all share. But now I find that I must write about something else, urging you to defend the faith that God has entrusted once for all time to his holy people. I say this because some ungodly people have wormed their way into your churches, saying that God's marvelous grace allows us to live immoral lives. Wow, so false teachers are the ones that talk about how, oh, it's fine, we all have grace, saved by grace, it doesn't matter, do whatever you want. That's the false teachers that do that. Okay, just making sure we're all clear. It's the false teachers that preach greasy grace. All right. The condemnation of such people was recorded long ago, for they've denied our only master and Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to remind you, though you already know these things, that Jesus first rescued the nation of Israel from Egypt, but later he destroyed those who did not remain faithful. And I remind you of the angels who did not stay within the limits of authority that God gave them, but left the place where they belonged, and God has kept them securely chained in prisons of darkness, waiting for the great day of judgment. All right, don't teach every verse, Isaiah, but anyway. Don't forget Sodom and Gomorrah and their neighboring towns, which were filled with immorality and every kind of sexual perversion. Those cities were destroyed by fire and serve as a warning of the eternal fire of God's judgment. The last few days we've been reading about the judgment of God. Basically what the Bible's telling us is God is not playing games. And this image you have of God, this euphoric, God is so nice and loving and rainbows and daisies, is not the God of the Bible. God is okay with judging people and God will destroy people. So again, we've made this Western Jesus that's like so nice, doesn't kill anything, kill anybody, judge anybody. That is not the God of the Bible. And we're going to see that today more. In the same way, these people who claim authority from their dreams live immoral lives. They defy authority and they scoff at supernatural beings. But even Michael, one of the mightiest of the angels, did not dare accuse the devil of blasphemy, but simply said, "The Lord rebuke you." This took place when Michael was arguing with the devil about Moses' body. But these people scoff at things they do not understand. Like unthinking animals, they do whatever their instincts tell them, and so they bring about their own destruction. What sorrow awaits them? For they follow in the footsteps of Cain, who killed his brother. Like Balaam, they deceive people for money, and like Korah, they perish in the rebellion. When these people eat with you or in your fellowship meals, commemorating the Lord's love, they're like dangerous reefs that can shipwreck you. They're like shameless shepherds who care only for themselves. They're like clouds blowing over the land without giving any rain. They're like trees in the autumn that are doubly dead, for they bear no fruit and have been pulled up by the roots. Doubly dead. You're not just dead, you're doubly, double, animal style dead, all right? If you know, you know. They're like wild waves of the sea churning up the foam of their shameful deeds. They're like wandering stars doomed forever to blackest darkness. Enoch, who lived in the seventh generation after Adam, prophesied about these people. He said, "Listen, the Lord is coming with countless of his thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment on the people of the world. He will convict every person of all the ungodly things they've done and for all the insults that ungodly sinners have spoken against him." And this is where the Bible, you know, quotes Enoch, Book of Enoch. "These people are grumblers and complainers, living only to satisfy their desires. They brag loudly about themselves and they flatter others to get what they want. But you, my dear friends, must remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ predicted. They told you that in the last times there would be scoffers whose purpose in life is to satisfy their ungodly desires. These people are the ones who are creating divisions among you. They follow their natural instincts because they do not have God's spirit in them. But you, dear friends, must build each other up in your most holy faith, pray in the power of the Holy Spirit, and await the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring eternal life. And in this way, you'll keep yourself safe in God's love. And you must show mercy to those whose faith is wavering. Rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment and show mercy still to others, but do so with great caution, hating the sin that contaminates their lives. Now all glory to God, who is able to keep you from falling away and will bring you the great joy into his glorious presence without a single fault. All glory to him who alone is God, our Savior through Jesus Christ our Lord. All glory, majesty, power, and authority are his before all time and in the present and beyond all time. Amen." Amen. You can read the Book of Enoch just as a historical document, not as canon. All right, here it is. Drum roll in the chat, please. Our internet's going good. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We are in the book of Revelation, not the book of Revelations. Okay, the book of Revelation. And the revelation is the unveiling and the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is not the revelation of the Antichrist. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what the book's about. So here we go. Chapter 1, prologue. This is a revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servant the events that must happen soon to take place. Servants. He sent an angel to present this revelation to his servant John, who faithfully reported everything he saw. This is the report of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. God blesses the one who reads the words of this prophecy to the church, and he blesses all who listen to its message and obey what it says, for the time is near. All right, here we go. John's greetings to the seven churches. This letter is from John to the seven churches in the province of Asia. Grace and peace to you from the one who is and always was and who is still to come, from the sevenfold spirit before his throne, and from Jesus Christ. He is the faithful witness to these things, the first to rise from the dead and the ruler of all the kings of the world. All glory to him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by shedding his blood for us. He has made us a kingdom of priests for God his Father. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. Look, he comes with the clouds of heaven, and everyone will see him. And even those who pierced him and all the nations of the world will mourn for him. Yes, amen. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord God. I'm the one who is, who always was, and who is still to come, the Almighty One. Vision of the Son of Man. I, John, am your brother and your partner in suffering and in God's kingdom and in the patient endurance to which Jesus calls us. I was exiled to the island of Patmos for preaching the word of God and for my testimony about Jesus. It was the Lord's day and I was worshiping in the Spirit. And suddenly I heard behind me a voice like a trumpet blast, and it said, write in a book everything you see and send it to the seven churches in the cities of Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. When I turned and saw who was speaking to me, I saw seven gold lampstands. And standing in the middle of the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man. He was wearing a long robe with a gold sash across his chest. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like flames of fire. His feet were like polished bronze, refined. Yeah, I know it's trying to freeze. It's glitching. I don't know, guys. I've tried everything. I don't know what else to do. So lame. Anyways, we're going to keep going. His feet were like polished bronze refined in a furnace, and his voice thundered like a mighty ocean waves. He held seven stars in his right hand, and a sharp two-edged sword came from his mouth, and his face was like the sun in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as if I were dead, but he laid his right hand on me and said, don't be afraid, I'm the first and the last. I'm the living one. I died, but look, I'm alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys to death and the grave. Write down what you've seen, both the things that are now happening and the things that will happen. This is the meaning of the mystery of the seven stars you saw in my right hand and the seven gold lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. Now, the word angels means messenger. So this is letters to the leaders, the preachers, the pastors of these churches. Chapter 2. The message to the church in Ephesus. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Ephesus. This is the message from the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand and the one who walks among the seven gold lampstands. I know all the things you do. I've seen your hard work and your patient endurance. I know you don't tolerate evil people. You've examined the claims of those who say they are apostles but are not. You've discovered they are liars. But you patiently suffered for me without quitting. But I have this complaint against you. You do not love me or each other as you did at first. Look how far, you have fallen. Turn back to me and do the works you did at first. If you don't repent, I will come and remove your lampstand from its place among the churches. But this is in your favor. You hate the evil deeds of the Nicolaitans, just as I do. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he's saying to the seven to the churches. To everyone who is victorious, I will give the fruit from the tree of life in the paradise of God. The message to the church in Smyrna. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Smyrna. This is the message from the one who is the first and the last, who is dead but is now alive, who was dead but is now alive. I know about your suffering and your poverty, but you are rich. I know the blasphemy of those opposing you. They say they are Jews, but they're not, because their synagogue belongs to Satan. Don't be afraid of what you're about to suffer. The devil will throw some of you into prison to test you. You'll suffer for 10 days, but if you remain faithful, even when facing death, I will give you the crown of life. Anyone with ears must listen to the Spirit and understand what he's saying to the churches. Whoever is victorious will not be harmed by the second death. The message to the church in Pergamum. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Pergamum. This is the message from the one with the sharp two-edged sword. I know that you live in a city where Satan has his throne. Yet you've remained loyal to me. You've refused to deny me, even with Antipas, my faithful witness, who was martyred among you there in Satan's city. But I have a few complaints against you. You tolerate some among you whose teaching is that of Balaam, who showed Balak how to trip up the people of Israel. He taught them to sin by eating foods offered to idols and by committing sexual sin. In a similar way, you have some Nicolaitans among you who follow the same teaching. Repent of your sin, or I'll come to you suddenly and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Anyone with ears must listen to the Spirit and understand what he's saying to the churches. To everyone who is victorious, I will give some of the manna that has been hidden away in heaven, and I'll give it to each one a white stone, and on the stone will be engraved a new name that no one understands except the one who receives it. Ooh, I like that. This is the NLT. The message to the church in Thyatira. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Thyatira. This is the message from the Son of God, whose eyes are like flames of fire, whose feet are like polished bronze. I know all the things you do, and I've seen your love and your faith and your service and your patient endurance, and I can see your constant improvement in all these things. But I have this complaint against you. You're permitting that woman, that Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet, to lead my servant astray. She teaches them to commit a sexual sin and eat food offered to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she does not want to turn from her immorality. Therefore, I will throw her on a bed of suffering, and those who commit adultery with her will suffer greatly unless they repent and turn away from their evil deeds. I will strike her children dead. Then all the churches will know that I'm the one who searches out the thoughts and intentions of every person, and I'll give to each of you whatever you deserve. But I also have a message for the rest of you in Thyatira. You've not followed this false teaching, deeper truths, as they call them, depths of Satan, actually. I will ask nothing more of you, except that you hold tightly to what you have until I come. To all who are victorious, who obey me to the very end, to them I will give authority over all the nations. They will rule the nations with an iron rod and smash them like clay pots. They'll have the same authority I received from my Father, and I'll also give them the morning star. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he's saying to the churches. Chapter 3, the message to the church in Sardis. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Sardis. This is the message from the one who has the sevenfold spirit of God and the seven stars. I know all the things you do and that you have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Wake up. Strengthen what little remains, for even what is left is almost dead. I find that your actions do not meet the requirements of my God. Go back to what you heard and believed at first and hold tight to it firmly. Repent and turn to me again, and if you don't wake up, I will come to you suddenly as unexpected as a thief. Yet there are some in the church in Sardis who have not soiled their clothes with evil. They walk with me in white, for they are worthy. All who are victorious will be clothed in white. I will never erase their names from the book of life, but I'll announce before my Father and his angels that they are mine. Anyone with ears must listen to the Spirit and understand what he is saying to the churches. The message to the church in Philadelphia. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Philadelphia. This is the message from the one who is holy and true, the one who has the key of David. What he opens, no one can close, and what he closes, no one can open. I know all the things you do, and I've opened a door for you that no one can close. You have a little strength, yet you obeyed my word and did not deny me. Look, I will force those who belong to Satan's synagogue, those liars who say they're Jews but are not, to come and bow at your feet. They will acknowledge that you're the ones I love. Because you've obeyed my command to persevere, I will protect you from the great time of testing that will come upon the whole world to test those who belong to this world. I'm coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take away your crown. All who are victorious will become pillars in the temple of my God, and they'll never have to leave it. And I'll write on them the name of my God, and they'll be citizens in the city of my God, the new Jerusalem that comes down from heaven from my God. And I'll also write on them my new name. Anyone with ears must hear what the Spirit and understand what he's saying to the churches. Must listen. The message to the church in Laodicea. Write this letter to the angel of the church in Laodicea. This is the message from the one who is the Amen, the faithful, and the true witness, the beginning of God's new creation. I know all the things you do, that you're neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were one or the other. But since you're like lukewarm water, neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. You say, I'm rich and I have everything I want. I don't need a thing. And you don't realize that you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. So I advise you to buy gold from me, gold that has been purified by fire. Then you will be rich. Also buy white garments from me so you'll not be ashamed of your nakedness. And ointment for your eyes so you'll be able to see. I correct and discipline everyone I love, so be diligent and turn from your indifference. Look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we'll share a meal together as friends. Those who are victorious will sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat with my Father on his throne. Anyone with ears must listen to what the Spirit and understand what he's saying to the churches. Good stuff. Chapter 4, Worship in Heaven. Then as I looked, I saw a door standing open in heaven, and the same voice I heard before spoke to me like a trumpet blast, and the voice said, "Come up here, and I'll show you what must happen after this." And instantly I was in the spirit, and I saw a throne in heaven and someone sitting on it. This is so good. How could this not be like one of our favorite books in the Bible? Oh yeah, we got to remember to take communion tomorrow too. Do not let me forget that. 24 elders surrounded him, and 24 elders sat on them. They were all clothed in white and had gold crowns on their heads. From the throne came flashes of lightning and the rumble of thunder. And in front of the throne were seven torches with burning flames. This is the sevenfold spirit of God. In front of the throne was a shiny sea of glass sparkling like crystal. In the center and around the throne were four living beings, each covered with eyes front and back. The first of these living beings was like a lion. The second was like an ox. And the third had a human face. And the fourth was like an eagle's in flight. And guys, just to remind you, I've done verse-by-verse teaching of this entire book. It's 15 hours. Go to my channel and go to playlist. And I've also done teachings on a lot of these topics. What do these animals mean? What do they represent? I've done a lot of teaching, like 25 plus hours, if you go to my Revelation and End Time playlist on my channel. So if you're interested in any of this, you're like, explain that. What does that mean? I break it down in a very simple way on my channel, all right? Each of these living beings had six wings, and their wings were covered with eyes inside and out. Day after day and night after night, they kept on saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, the one who always was, who is, and who is still to come." Whenever the living beings give glory and honor and thanks to the one sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down and worship the one sitting on the throne, the one who lives forever and ever. And they lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, O Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and they exist because you created what you please." I love this because I was like, what is the throne room like? And it literally tells us. Amazing. Chapter 5, the Lamb opens the scroll. Then I saw a scroll in the right hand of the one who was sitting on the throne. There was writing on the inside and the outside of the scroll, and it was sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel who shouted with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals on the scroll and open it?" Excuse me. But no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll and read it. Then I began to weep bitterly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll and read it. But one of the 24 elders said to me, "Stop weeping. Look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the heir to David's throne, has won the victory. He is worthy to open the scroll and its seven seals." Then I saw a lamb that looked as if it had been slaughtered, but it was now standing between the throne and the four living beings and among the 24 elders. He had seven horns and seven eyes, which represent the sevenfold spirit of God that is sent into every part of the earth. He stepped forward and took the scroll from the right hand of the one sitting on the throne. And when he took the scroll, the four living beings and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they held gold bowls filled with incense, which are the prayers of God's people. Wow, that's heavy. And they sang a new song with these words: "You are worthy to take the scroll and break its seal and open it. For you were slaughtered, and your blood has ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you've caused them to become a kingdom of priests for our God, and they'll reign on the earth." Then I looked again, and I heard the voice of thousands of millions of angels around the throne and of the living beings and the elders. And they sang in a mighty chorus, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the sun and in the sea, they sang, "Blessing and honor and glory and power belong to the one sitting on the throne and the Lamb forever and ever." And the four living beings said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped the Lamb. Awesome. Chapter 6, the Lamb breaks the first six seals. As I watched, the Lamb broke the first of the seven seals on the scroll. Then I heard one of the four living beings say with a voice like thunder, "Come." I looked up and saw a white horse standing there. Its rider carried a bow, and a crown was placed on its head. He rode out to win many battles and gain the victory. When the Lamb broke the second seal, I heard the second living being say, "Come." A lot of people think this rider on the white horse is the Antichrist, and I have a whole teaching on that too. Then another horse appeared, a red one. Its rider was given a mighty sword and the authority to take peace from the earth, and there was war and slaughter everywhere. And this is speaking of the tribulation period. This is going to be happening during the tribulation. When the Lamb broke the third seal, I heard the living being say, "Come." I looked up and saw a black horse, and its rider was holding a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice from among the four living beings say, "A loaf of wheat bread or three loaves of barley will cost a day's pay, and don't waste the olive oil and wine." When the Lamb broke the, so that's talking about like economic ruin and famine. When the Lamb broke the fourth seal, I heard the fourth living being say, "Come." I looked up and saw a horse whose color was pale green. Its rider was named Death, and his companion was the grave. These two were given authority over one-fourth of the earth to kill with sword and famine and disease and wild animals. Wow. When the Lamb broke the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been martyred for the word of God and for being faithful in their testimony. Now, this never made sense to me when I was pre-trib, because I'm like, wait, how are people getting martyred? I thought everyone already got raptured. And then I used to say, well, these are people that got saved after the rapture. It doesn't say that. These are martyrs that got martyred during the tribulation period, because the rapture happens at the end of the tribulation as Christ is returning. So anyway, you can go watch videos on that as well. They shouted to the Lord and said, O sovereign Lord, holy and true, how long before you judge the people who belong to this world and avenge our blood for what they've done to us? Then a white robe was given to each of them, and they were told to rest a little longer until the full number of their brothers and sisters, their fellow servants of Jesus, were to be martyred, had joined them. See, here we go. More believers are going to be martyred during the tribulation period. There's no secret rapture, guys, that we've been taught, so it's not true. I watched as a lamb broke the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake. The sun became as dark as black cloth, and the moon became red as blood. Then the stars of the sky fell to the earth like a green figs falling from a tree shaken by a strong wind. The sky was rolled up like a scroll, and all of the mountains and islands were removed from their places. Then everyone, the kings of the earth, the rulers, the generals, the wealthy, the powerful, and every slave and free person all hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. Wow. And they cried to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of the one who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to survive? Wow. Chapter 7, God's people will be preserved. Then I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds so they did not blow on the earth or sea or on any tree. And I saw another angel coming up from the east, carrying the seal of the living God. And he shouted to those four angels who had been given power to harm the land and sea. Wait. Don't harm the land or sea or the trees until we've placed the seal of God on the forehead of his servants. And I heard of how many were marked with the seal of God. 144,000 were sealed from all the tribes of Israel. All right, there's there 12,000 from Judah, Reuben, Gad, Asher, Naphtali, Manasseh, Simeon, Levi, Issachar, Zebulun, Joseph, and Benjamin. So 12,000 from each of the tribes I just named. Praise from the great crowd. After this, I saw a vast crowd, too great to count, from every nation, tribe, and people, and language, standing in front of the throne and before the Lamb. They were clothed in white robes and held palm branches in their hands, and they were shouting with a great roar, salvation comes from our God who sits on the throne and from the Lamb. And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living beings, and they fell before the throne with their faces to the ground and worshiped God. They sang, Amen, blessing and honor, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and strength belong to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the 24 elders asked me, who are these who are clothed in white? Where do they come from? And I said to him, sir, you are the one who knows. Then he said to me, these are the ones who died in the great tribulation. Wow. Believers dying in the great tribulation? They've washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb and made them white. That is why they stand in front of God's throne and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will give them shelter. They will never again be hungry or thirsty. They'll never be scorched by the heat of the sun. Excuse me. For the Lamb on the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of life-giving water, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes. Powerful. Chapter 8, the Lamb breaks the seventh seal. When the Lamb broke the seventh seal on the scroll, there was silence throughout heaven for about a half an hour. I heard a joke saying, proof there's no women in heaven because there's silence for half an hour. That's not even funny, guys. Come on. I talk way more than my wife. All right. There was silence for a half hour in heaven. I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and they were given seven trumpets. Then another angel with a gold incense burner came and stood at the altar, and a great amount of incense was given to him to mix with prayers of God's people as an offering on the gold altar before the throne. The smoke of the incense mixed with the prayers of God's holy people ascended up to God from the altar where the angel had poured them out. Then the angel filled the incense burner with fire from the altar and threw it down upon the earth, and thunder crashed, lightning flashed, and there was a terrible earthquake. The first four trumpets. Then the seven angels with the seven trumpets prepared to blow their mighty blasts. The first angel blew his trumpet, and hail and fire mixed with blood were thrown down on the earth. One third of the earth was set on fire, and one third of the trees were burned, and all the green grass was burned. And guys, this is a fact. This, what I'm reading, is going to happen. Maybe in our lifetime, maybe not. This is not like a maybe thing. This is a fact. Take it to the bank. Like, this sounds unbelievable. Sounds catastrophic. But it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Then the second angel blew his trumpet, and a great mountain of fire was thrown into the sea. One third of the water in the ocean became blood. One third of all things living in the sea died, and one third of all the ships on the sea were destroyed. Then the third angel blew his trumpet, and a great star fell from the sky, burning like a torch. It fell on one third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star was Bitterness. It made one third of the water bitter, and many people died from drinking the bitter water. Then the fourth angel blew his trumpet, and one third of the sun was struck, and one third of the moon, and one third of the stars, and they became dark. And one third of the day was dark, and also one third of the night. Any apocalyptic movie you've ever seen, this is going to be 1,000 times worse than that. This is going to be 1,000 times worse than that. Then I looked and I heard a single eagle crying loudly as it flew through the air. Terror, terror, terror to all who belong to this world because of what will happen when the last three angels blow their trumpet. Wow, this is heavy, heavy, heavy stuff. Chapter 9. The fifth trumpet brings the first terror. The first terror? This has been terror this whole time. Whoever wrote this, this wasn't originally in the Bible. They wrote this to categorize the chapters. First terror, what do you mean? Then the fifth angel blew his trumpet, and I saw a star that had fallen to the earth from the sky, and he was given a key to the shaft of the bottomless pit. When he opened it, smoke poured out as though from a huge furnace, and the sunlight and air turned dark from the smoke. Then locusts came from the smoke and descended on the earth, and they were given power to sting like scorpions. They were told not to harm the grass or plants or trees, but only the people who did not have the seal of God on their foreheads. They were told not to kill them, but to torture them for 5 months with pain like the pain of a scorpion sting. If you don't know, scorpion stings are one of the most painful stings you can get. In those days, people will seek death, but not find it. They will long to die, but death will flee from them. So for 5 months, no one will die. Think about how crazy that is. But instead, for 5 months, these locust creatures will be torturing people. This is just worse than any horror movie. The locusts looked like horses prepared for battle. They had what looked like gold crowns on their heads, and their faces looked like human faces. This is like so hard for me to even imagine. It's just so crazy and like terrifying. They had hair like women's hair and teeth like the teeth of a lion. So think about that. Human face, crown, hair like long hair like a woman, so it's long hair, and their teeth were like teeth of a lion. I mean, that's scary. Don't type that into AI. They wore armor made of iron, and their wings roared like the army of mighty chariots rushing into battle. So they have wings, and their wings sound like chariots. That's so terrifying. They had tails that stung like scorpions, and for 5 months, they had the power to torment people. Their king is the angel from the bottomless pit. His name is Hebrew is Abaddon, and in Greek, Apollyon, the destroyer. This is no joke stuff here, guys. The first terror is past, but look, two more terrors are coming. Sheesh. The sixth trumpet brings the second terror. Then the sixth angel blew his trumpet, and I heard a voice speaking from the four horns of the gold altar that stands in the presence of God. And the voice said to the sixth angel who held the trumpet, "Release the four angels who are bound at the great Euphrates River." Then the four angels who had prepared for this hour, day and month and year, were turned loose to kill one third of all the people on the earth. I heard the size of their army, which was 200 million. Mounted troops. Think about how insane that is. 200 million mounted troops are released. And in my vision, I saw the horses and the riders sitting on them. The riders were army that was fiery red and dark blue and yellow. The horses had heads like lions, and the fire and smoke and burning sulfur billowed from their mouths. I mean, this literally gives me chills here. This is just so, so terrifying. One third of all the people on the earth were killed by these plagues, by fire, smoke, and burning sulfur that came from the mouths of the horses. Their power was in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails had heads like snakes with the power to injure people. But those people who did not die in these plagues, look at this, still refused to repent of their evil deeds and turn to God. They continued to worship demons and idols made of gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood, and idols that can neither see nor hear nor walk. So after all of this, people still hate God. And they did not repent of their murders, or their witchcraft, or their sexual immorality, or their thefts. Those will be the four main sins in the tribulation period. Murder, witchcraft, sexual immorality, and theft. Wow. Chapter 10, the angel and the small scroll. Then I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven, surrounded by a cloud. With a rainbow over his head, his face shone like the sun, and his feet were like pillars of fire. And in his hand was a small scroll that had been open. He stood with his right hand on the sea and his left foot on the land. And he gave a great shout like the roar of a lion. And when he shouted, the seven thunders answered. When the seven thunders spoke, I was about to write, but I heard a voice from heaven saying, "Keep secret what the seven thunders said and do not write it down." Then the angel I saw standing on the sea and on and on the land, raised his right hand toward heaven. So this angel standing in the ocean and on land at the same time. How huge is that angel? It's standing in the ocean and land. That's massive. He swore an oath in the name of the one who lives forever, and he created the heavens and earth and everything in them. The earth and everything in it, and the sea and everything in it. He said, there will be no more delay. When the seventh angel blows his trumpet, God's mysterious plan will be fulfilled. It'll happen just as he announced it to his servants, the prophets. Then the voice from heaven spoke to me again. Go and take the open scroll from my hand of the angel of the hand from the... Let me say this again. We could do this. Then the voice from heaven spoke to me again. Go and take the open scroll from the hand of the angel who was standing on the sea and on the land. So I went to the angel and told him, give me the small scroll. Yes, take it and eat it, he said. It'll be sweet as honey in your mouth, but it'll turn sour in your stomach. So I took the small scroll from the hand of the angel and I ate it. It was sweet in my mouth, but when I swallowed it, it turned sour in my stomach. Then I was told, you must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, languages, and kings. Chapter 11, the two witnesses. Then I was given a measuring stick and I was told, go and measure the temple of God and the altar and count the number of worshipers. But do not measure the outer courtyard, for it has been turned over to the nations. They will trample the holy city for 42 months. And I will give power to my witnesses, and they will be clothed in burlap and will prophesy. And will prophesy during those 1260 days. These two prophets are the two olive trees and the two lampstands that stand before the Lord of all the earth. If anyone tries to harm them, fire flashes from their mouths and consumes their enemies. This is how anyone who tries to harm them must die. That is wild. So anyone that tries to hurt these people, fire right out of their mouth kills the person. They have power to shut the sky so no rain will fall for as long as they prophesy, and they have the power to turn the rivers and oceans into blood and to strike the earth with every kind of plague as often as they wish. When they complete their testimony, the beast will come up out of the bottomless pit, will declare war against them, and he will conquer them and kill them. And their bodies will lie in the main street of Jerusalem, the city that is figuratively called Sodom in Egypt, the city where the Lord was crucified. And for 3.5 days, all peoples, tribes, languages, and nations will stare at their bodies. No one will be allowed to bury them. All the people who belong to this world will gloat over them and give presents to each other to celebrate the death of the two prophets who have tormented them. But after 3.5 days, God breathed life into them, and they stood up. Terror struck all who were staring at them. Then a loud voice from heaven called to the two prophets, come up here. And they rose to heaven in a cloud as their enemies watched. Epic, epic. At the same time, there was a terrible earthquake that destroyed a tenth of the city. 7,000 people died in that earthquake, and everyone was terrified and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second terror is past, but look, the third terror is coming quickly. The seventh trumpet brings the third terror. Then the seventh angel blew his trumpet, and there were loud voices shouting in heaven. The world has now become the kingdom of our Lord and his Christ. He will reign forever and ever. The 24 elders sitting on their thrones before God fell to their faces on the ground and worshiped him. And they said, we give thanks to you, Lord God, the Almighty, the one who is and always was. For now you've assumed your great power and have begun to reign. The nations were filled with wrath, but now the time of your wrath has come. It is time to judge the dead and reward your servants, the prophets, as well as your holy people and all who fear your name from the least to the greatest. It's time to destroy all who have caused destruction on the earth. Then in heaven, the temple of God was opened and the ark of his covenant could be seen inside the temple. Lightning flashed, thunder crashed and roared, and there was an earthquake and a terrible hailstorm. All right, chapter 12. Then I witnessed in heaven an event of great significance. I saw a woman clothed with the sun, with a moon beneath her feet and a crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and she cried out because of her labor pains and the agony of giving birth. Then I witnessed in heaven another significant event. I saw a large red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns with 7 crowns on his heads. His tail swept away 1/3 of the stars in the sky and threw them to the earth. He stood in front of the woman as she was about to give birth, ready to devour her baby as soon as it was born. She gave birth to a son who was to rule all the nations with an iron rod, and her child was snatched away from the dragon and was caught up to God in his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness where God had prepared a place to care for her for 1260 days. Then there was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels. Now, quickly, I always thought that this was talking about the event that happened before where the devil was cast out of heaven with his angels. This is another event. So this is a second time, similarly, there will be a war in heaven and Michael and his angels will fight the dragon, the devil and his angels, and will cast them down. So this is not to be confused with before humans were created, God threw Satan to the earth and cast all the one-third of the angels down with Satan. That's a past thing. This is another event where Michael and his angels are going to fight against the devil and his angels, okay? So just don't be confused. I always thought like that this was the same event, but it never made sense, and I did deeper study. This is a separate event. So that might be new to some of you. The dragon lost the battle, and his angels were forced out of heaven. This great dragon, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, the one deceiving the whole world, was thrown down to the earth with all his angels. Then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens. So there's a moment where the devil and all the demons are going to try to wage war against God in heaven. So they're going to force themselves into heaven, try to wage war against God, but Michael and his angels are going to fight them off and basically throw them down to the earth. Then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens. It has come at last, salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brothers and sisters has been thrown down to earth, the one who accuses them before our God day and night. And they've defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony. And they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, you who live in the heavens, rejoice. But terror will come to the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you in great anger, knowing that he has a little time. Wow. When the dragon realized that he'd been thrown down, When the dragon realized that he'd been thrown down to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. But she was given two wings like those of a great eagle, so she could fly to the place prepared for her in the wilderness. There she would be cared for and protected from the dragon for a times time and a half a time. Then the dragon tried to drown the woman with the flood of water that flowed from his mouth. But the earth helped her by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that gushed from the mouth of the dragon. And the dragon was angry at the woman and declared war against the rest of her children, all who keep God's commandments and maintain their testimony for Jesus. Then the dragon took his stand on the shore beside the sea. Here we go. 13. The beast out of the sea. Then I saw a beast rising up out of the sea. It had 7 heads and 10 horns, with 10 crowns on its horns, and written on each head were names that blasphemed God. The beast looked like a leopard, but had the feet of a bear and the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave the beast its own power and throne and great authority. I saw that one of the heads of the beast seemed wounded beyond recovery, but the fatal wound was healed. The whole world marveled at this miracle and gave allegiance to the beast. Now, the beast is the Antichrist, okay? And I'm just trying to give you guys quick things here so you understand what's going on. But there's no way for me to fully explain this in, you know, the time I'm reading. They worship the dragon for giving the beast such power, and also they worship the beast. Who is great as the beast, they exclaimed. Who is able to fight against him? Then the beast was allowed to speak great blasphemies against God, and he was given authority to do whatever he wanted for 42 months. And he spoke terrible words of blasphemy against God, slandering his name and his dwelling, that is, those who dwell in heaven. And the beast was allowed to wage war against God's holy people and to conquer them. And he was given authority to rule over every tribe and people and language and nation. And all the people who belong to this world worship the beast. They are the ones whose names were not written in the book of life that belongs to the Lamb who was slaughtered before the world was made. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Anyone who is destined for prison will be taken to prison. Anyone who is destined to die by the sword will die by the sword. This means that God's holy people must endure persecution patiently and remain faithful. Okay, again, we see persecution happening in the tribulation to Christians, right? We're not just going to all get rescued out and not face this. And it might not happen in our lifetime, but there will be many, many Christians going through the tribulation. The beast out of the earth. Then I saw another beast come out of the earth. He had 2 horns like those of a lamb, but he spoke with the voice of a dragon. He exercised all authority over the first beast, and he required all the earth and its people to worship the first beast whose fatal wound had been healed. He did astounding miracles, even making fire flash down from earth from the sky while everyone was watching. And all the miracles he was allowed to perform on behalf of the first beast, he deceived all the people who belonged to this world. He ordered the people to make a great statue of the beast who was fatally wounded but came back to life. Then he was permitted to give life to the statue so that it could speak. Okay, so he animates the statue, which is crazy. Then the statue of the beast commanded that everyone refusing to worship it must die. So the statue starts talking and saying, if you don't worship me, you're going to die. He required everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to be given a mark on the right hand or on the forehead. This is the mark of the beast right here. Okay, we have lots of videos on the channel about that. Just search. And no one could buy or sell anything without that mark, which is either the name of the beast or the number that represents his name. Wisdom is needed here. Let the one with understanding solve the meaning of the number of the beast, for it's the number of a man. His number is 666. My teeth are sore. I went to the orthodontist today and got my retainer redone. All right. The Lamb and the 144,000, chapter 14. Then I saw the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him were 144,000 who had his name and his father's name written on their foreheads. And I heard a sound. So notice God gives a mark, right? God gives the mark on the forehead. What does the Antichrist do? Copies God. He's the Antichrist. He copies God and gives a mark to his people. So there's the mark of the Lamb and the mark of the beast. And I heard a sound from heaven like the roar of mighty ocean waves or the rolling of loud thunder. It was like the sound of many harpists playing together. This great choir sang a wonderful new song in front of the throne of God and before the four living beings and the 24 elders. No one can learn the song except the 144,000 who had been redeemed from the earth. They've kept themselves as pure as virgins, following the Lamb wherever he goes. They've been purchased from among the people on the earth as a special offering to God and to the Lamb. They've told no lies. They are without blame. And I saw another angel flying through the sky, carrying the eternal good news to proclaim to the people who belong to this world, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. Fear God, he shouted. So this is an angel flying around saying this. Give glory to him, for the time has come where he'll sit as a judge. Worship him who made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all the springs of water. Then another angel followed him through the sky shouting, Babylon is fallen, the great city is fallen, because she made all the nations of the world drink the wine of her passionate immorality. Then a third angel followed them shouting, anyone who worships the beast and his statue or accepts his mark on the forehead or on the hand must drink the wine of God's anger. It has been poured full strength in God's cup of wrath. And they'll be tormented with fire and burning sulfur in the presence of the holy angels and the Lamb. So once you take the mark of the beast, no chance for you. No shot. You're done. If you take the mark, you are done. Clearly right here, you're drinking the wrath of God and you're burning and being tormented forever. And look what it says in verse 11. The fire, the smoke of their torment will rise forever and ever, and they'll have no relief day or night, for they have worshipped the beast and his statue and have accepted the mark of his name. This means that God's holy people must endure persecution patiently, obeying his commands and maintaining their faith in Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write this down. Blessed are those who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit. They're blessed indeed, for they will rest from their hard work and their good deeds, for their good deeds follow them. The harvest of the earth. Then I saw, this is a long day, we're almost at it. We're at 45 minutes. And then I saw a white cloud, and seated on the cloud was someone like the Son of Man. He had a gold crown on his head and a sharp sickle in his hand. Then another angel came from the temple and shouted to the one sitting on the cloud, swing the sickle, for the time of harvest has come. The crop on earth is ripe. So the one sitting on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the whole earth was harvested. After that, another angel came from the temple in heaven, and he also had a sharp sickle. Then another angel who had power to destroy with fire came from the altar, and he shouted to the angel with the sharp sickle, swing your sickle to gather the cluster of grapes from the vines of the earth, for they are ripe for judgment. So the angel swung his sickle over the earth and loaded grapes into the great winepress of God's wrath. The grapes were trampled in the winepress outside the city, and the blood flowed from the winepress in a stream about 180 miles long and as high as a horse's bridle. The Song of Moses and the Lamb. And I saw in heaven another marvelous event of great significance. Seven angels were holding the seven last plagues, which would bring God's wrath to completion. I saw before me what seemed to be a glass sea mixed with fire, and on it stood all the people who had been victorious over the beast and his statue and the number representing his name. They were all holding harps that God had given them, and they were singing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. Great and marvelous are your works, O Lord, the Almighty. Just and true are your ways. O King of the nations, who will not fear you, Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All the nations who come and worship before you, for righteous deeds have been revealed. And seven bowls. And we're not done. There's a lot more stuff going here. Then I looked and saw the temple in heaven. God's tabernacle was thrown wide open. The seven angels who were holding the seven plagues came out of the temple, and they were clothed in spotless white linen with gold sashes across their chests. Then one of the four living beings handed each of the seven angels a gold bowl filled with the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. Just when he thought it couldn't get any worse, it's going to get worse right here. The temple is filled with smoke from God's glory and power. No one can enter the temple until the seven angels had completed pouring out the seven plagues. Chapter 16. Then I heard a mighty voice from the temple say to the angels, go your way and pour out on the earth the seven bowls containing God's wrath. So the first angel left the temple and poured out his bowl on the earth. And horrible, malignant sores broke out on everyone who had the mark of the beast and worshipped his statue. Then the second angel poured out his bowl on the sea, and it became like the blood of a corpse. And everything in picture this in your mind as I'm reading this progression here. Okay, so everyone has boils that took the mark. Now everything in the sea is dead, and it's completely blood. Think about the smell of the 70% of the earth is the ocean, right? 70-something%. So 70-something% of the world, imagine everything dies. It's all blood. The smell would be unbelievable. Then the third angel poured out his bowl on the rivers and springs, and they became blood. And I heard the angel who had authority over the water saying, you are just because you've sent these judgments. Since they shed the blood of your holy people and your prophets, you've given them blood to drink. It's their just reward. So let me just take a moment here. The angels are saying, God is just. You're going to say, this is not fair. Why would God do this? No, God is just. Why is God doing this? Because you've martyred his people all through the tribulation. You've killed the people of God. You've literally killed them for not taking the mark. And so now guess what? You're going to drink blood for water. This is the judgments of God. It's just. And I heard a voice from the altar saying, O Lord, yes, O Lord God the Almighty, your judgments are true and just. And this voice from the altar is the voice of the martyrs. Then the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, causing it to scorch everyone with its fire. Everyone was burned by this blast of heat. And they cursed the name of God who had control over all these plagues. They did not repent of their sins and turn to God and give him glory. How stubborn are people? Wow. Then the fifth angel poured out its bowl on the throne of the beast, and his kingdom was plunged into darkness. His subjects ground their teeth in anguish, and they cursed the God of heaven for their pains and sores. But they did not repent of their evil deeds and turn to God. Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great Euphrates River, and it dried up so that the kings from the east could march their armies towards the west without hindrance. And I saw three evil spirits that looked like frogs leap from the mouth of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. So one spirit came out of the mouth of the dragon, one spirit came out of the mouth of the beast, and one spirit came out of the mouth of the false prophet. They are demonic spirits who work miracles and go out to the rulers of the world to gather them for the battle against the Lord on great judgment day of the God Almighty. And this is the Battle of Armageddon. Again, I have videos on this that are very interesting. If you want to know about the Battle of Armageddon, you go watch my videos on this. You'll hear about it here, but I break it down more. Look, I will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Blessed are all who are watching for me, who keep their clothing ready so they'll not have to walk around naked and ashamed. And the demonic spirits gathered all the rulers and their armies to a place with the Hebrew name Armageddon. So Armageddon is a place. People are like, think it's just a season or apocalypse. No, Armageddon is an actual place. Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a mighty shout came from the throne in the temple saying, it is finished. Same thing Jesus said on the cross. That'll preach. Then the thunder crashed and rolled, and lightning flashed, and a great earthquake struck, the worst since people were placed on the earth. The worst earthquake ever. The great city of Babylon was split into three sections, and the cities of many nations fell into heaps of rubble. So God remembered all of Babylon's sins, and he made her drink the cup that was filled with wine of his fierce wrath. And every island disappeared, and all the mountains were leveled. Think about that, guys. An earthquake that not just destroys every city, every single island disappears. Goes into the ocean. Ocean of blood, by the way. And every mountain gets leveled out. That is, whoa. There was a terrible hailstorm. And hailstones weighing as much as 75 pounds fell from the sky onto people below. They curse God because of the terrible plague of hailstorm. 75 pound hails, balls of hail. That's like literally small people falling from the sky. I don't know. I was trying to think of what 75 pounds, and I was like, well, you know, a really thin lady's probably like 100 pounds, 95. So like a really small person, 75 pounds. I don't know. It would be weird to think a kid, but yeah. Anyways, I'm going to move on. Chapter 17, the great prostitute. This is our last chapter for today. And then tomorrow we finish. Let me see. Yeah, tomorrow we finish. Wow. I cannot believe we're at the end, guys. This is unbelievable. Chapter 17, the great prostitute. One of the seven angels who had poured out the seven bowls came over and spoke to me. Come with me, he said, and I'll show you the judgment that's going to come on the great prostitute who rules over many waters. The kings of the world have committed adultery with her, and the people who belong to this world have been made drunk by the wine of her immorality. So the angel took me in the spirit into the wilderness. There I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that had seven heads and ten horns, and blasphemies against God were written all over it. The woman wore purple and scarlet clothing and beautiful jewelry made of gold and precious gems and pearls. In her hand, she held a gold goblet full of obscenities and the impurities of her immorality. A mysterious name was written on her forehead, Babylon the Great, mother of all prostitutes and obscenities in the world. I could see that she was drunk with the blood of God's holy people who were witnesses for Jesus. I stared at her in complete amazement. Why are you so amazed? The angel asked. I will tell you the mystery of this woman, one of the beasts and the seven heads and ten horns on which she sits. The beast you saw was once alive but isn't now. And yet he will soon come up out of the bottomless pit and go to eternal destruction. And the people who belong to this world, whose names were not written in the book of life before the world was made, will be amazed at the reappearance of the beast who had died. This calls for mind with understanding. The seven heads of the beast represent the seven hills where the woman rules. They also represent seven kings. Five kings have already fallen. The sixth now reigns, and the seventh is yet to come, but his reign will be brief. The scarlet beast that was, but is no longer, is the eighth king. He's like the seven other, and he too is headed for destruction. The ten horns of the beast are ten kings who have not yet risen to power. They will be appointed to their kingdoms for one brief moment to reign with the beast. They will all agree to give him their power and authority. Together they will go to war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will defeat them because he is the Lord of all lords and the King of all kings, and his called and chosen faithful ones will be with him. Okay, so when, remember this, because tomorrow this is going to be important, when the Lamb defeats the Antichrist, the false prophet, the beast, and all the rulers of the earth at Armageddon, when the Lord defeats them, his chosen ones will be with him in that battle. So just remember that. Then an angel said to me, "The waters where the prostitute is ruling represents masses of people of every nation and language. The scarlet beast and his ten horns all hate the prostitute. They will strip her naked, eat her flesh, and burn her remains with fire. For God has put a plan into their minds, a plan that will carry out his purposes. They will agree to give their authority to the scarlet beast, and so the words of God will be fulfilled. And this woman you saw in your vision represents the great city that rules over the kings of the world." So I have a whole video on this, but the woman represents a city. The city rules over the kings of the earth, and the sea represents all the masses of people in the city. But go watch my video on that. Tomorrow is our last day, ladies and gentlemen. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? I can't. We have been live for 90 days. 90 days we've been live for. And, well, 89. And tomorrow. How crazy is the timing? We hit a million. And look at, they're still going. I don't know how long this wave's going to last, but we're just praying it keeps going. We just hit a million subscribers yesterday, and we end tomorrow in 90 days. What a crazy week it's been. So I'm going to be, tomorrow will be my last live for a little while, because I'm going to be taking the next week off to take my kids away on vacation and to relax and do nothing. So I'm going to be doing nothing next week. Well, I will be doing something, taking my kids on vacation. But yeah, my reward for finishing the 90 days is I get a week off. That's my reward. And then we'll be back again the next Monday with our live streams, back to regular programming, Monday, Tuesday, and then most likely Thursdays. But it's been a fun run, guys. It's been a fun run. I feel sad about it. I'm not going to lie. I feel sad, but it was a big accomplishment and the Lord saw us through. I'll just say a couple of cool things. One is I never got sick in the 90 days. The Lord kept me healthy, praise the Lord. So I was able to do the reading. I never had to cancel because I had like a fever or sickness or anything. Two, our internet, I know it's been choppy and messed up. I don't know what's going on. I got to get it figured out. But it has not cut out in 90 days. We didn't have any internet outage. Actually, I think one day we cut out like 10 minutes early. But that's it. So 90 days. And we didn't have to cancel at all. We didn't have to postpone. We didn't have to push it back. Nothing. Like, that's so crazy. So praise the Lord. That's like a lot of live streaming. And I'm excited, guys, to once we're done. Of course, summertime is very busy for us because we spend a lot of time with the kids. But I'm going to be traveling again more. I'm going to be preaching more locally. And also, I'm excited to work on videos for you guys. And just get back to filming videos. Because basically, I'm already in front of my screen here, you know, for a couple hours doing this and then getting ready for this and then getting ready for my streams takes me hours. It's like, I don't want to film videos after being in front of the camera for 3-4 hours or even an hour or two. So yeah, I'm going to get back to that, working on videos. So you'll be seeing me a lot and hopefully we can get something like this going once in a while. Maybe we'll do like 7 days of prayer straight or something like that. I don't know, but praise God. Praise God. Yeah, do it every day of the year. Take a week off. Maybe we'll do it like the New Testament. I don't know. Something. I don't know. We'll do something, but I'm not going to be doing this for a while where we're live every single day for 90 days. But it's been amazing. And I hope you guys continue to stay apart. I hope you continue to partner with us and help us out because we couldn't do this without your guys' support. So yeah, hopefully you guys could stick around even though we're not going to be live every single day. Where's your channel? My channel's right there, Becky. Just click my name. It's literally on where you're watching this. It's right down there. Just click Isaiah Saldivar. My channel name is Isaiah Saldivar. So what you can do, I'll show you guys this soon, but very helpful. There's the videos tab on my channel, videos. That's pre-recorded videos, okay? Then there's the live button. The live is all my live streams. So these are two separate things. You'll miss all these thousands of videos if you just click videos, thousands of lives. So there's videos, lives. Then there is playlist. The playlist is your best friend because you can go there, find my anything you want. Bible in 90 days. Like, I just want to watch the podcast. There's a podcast playlist. I just want to watch Monday Night Teaching. There's a Monday Night Teaching playlist. I just want to watch Revelation End Times, learn about the Mark of the Beast. There's a playlist for that. There's literally a place for, I just want to learn about deliverance. Deliverance training playlist. We got it all there, okay? It's just like, go to Walmart. You get everything you need in one place. So, and then there's an even more amazing feature, the search feature. It's a little magnifying glass. Click that. You can search anything on the channel. Like, what do you say about this? What? So you guys always ask me questions. I'm pretty sure I've made a video on it because I have 2,300 videos at this point. You can just go search the channel for whatever question you have and it'll pop up. There's going to be double the subs when you come back. Thank you, Lord. Amen, Marcella. Listen, I'm down, guys. I've been grinding. I have had months where I've gained 1,000 subscribers in the entire month. 30 days of live streaming and posting, and I've had months where I've gained 2,000 subscribers. So to gain 30,000 today, or we've gained 27,000 today, and to gain 30,000 yesterday, I'm down. If it wants to keep happening, I'm down. So whatever, it is what it is. Okay, it is what it is. Praise the Lord. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, I will see you guys tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Thank you so much. God bless. Sorry, I got lost in reading my texts. Tomorrow's day 90. Tell your mom, tell your grandkids, tell your family, tell your friends, tell your cat, tell your dog. Oh, something got in my eye. Oops. See you guys tomorrow. God bless. If you didn't watch the 1 million stream, go watch it. It's late last night. I was a little bit wild because that's what happens when you stream past 9 p.m. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to www.isaiahsaldivar.com for more content. And please follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram @Isaiah Saldivar. See you next week.